Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Like, don't make it easier for them. Like, force them with your buying power to have to do something about it. Right?
Greatest call.
And, like, we claim is...
No, it's the greatest call we've ever had. You are so true. Look, the consumer tells you who they like by spending their money on it. You know why Amazon is great? Because we all use it every single day. In fact, some of us five times a day. Not me, my wife.
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
Bonte, your money speaks.
Yeah.
All right?
No doubt.
Your money speaks.
No doubt.
Why does a business go out of business? Well, sometimes, you know, they make their own business decisions behind the scenes that affect their bottom line. But the majority of the time, it's the consumer telling you we don't like your product.
Well, look, A's fans have stopped coming. They stopped coming.
Yeah,
Miami Marlin fans have stopped coming.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Tampa Bay, they screw around. If they didn't give Franco that money, they would have stopped coming.
I'm with you.
There's teams that stopped coming. So there are teams out there. The Tiger fans, they don't go to games. They don't go to games. You know what I'm saying? They may come to a Saturday morning game, but you look at those all those empty green seats. A lot of baseball fans don't come if your team is bad or you're not spinning. So to his point, Anthony's point, there are some
fan bases that stop coming.
But if you're in Detroit, you got the Lions, man. That's your lifeblood.
I know.
There ain't, it's different out there.
Well,
so
think about what USC just did in college football. They were like, hey, our bottom line stinks right now.
Yep.
We need to. What'd they do? They invested in their product. Why? Because the boosters, the people that throw money at that program, were like, we're not giving you a dime unless it's someone as high profile as Lincoln Riley.
Well, look at LSU. They got rid of Coach O 2 years after winning the national championship.
Exactly.
You know why? All of a sudden, we're playing Florida.
Exactly.
The Florida game's supposed to be at 5 o'clock at night.
Yes.
It's supposed to be at 12:30, a CBS game. No, we're not playing at 9 in the morning because we stink, and there's empty seats here. Oh, no.
That's
not how we roll.
Yes.
We built the stadium to be 105,000 deep.
You're 100%
80,000, they cutting it, so they will move on quickly. This segment is presented by Go to State Lumber. Lumber and building materials for professional builders and contractors throughout Northern California. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. You're listening to 95.7 again. KGMC, FM, and HD1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Station, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. We're talking about the lockout here with baseball. They locked the players out yesterday, so everything's frozen right now. No movement will be happening. They scrubbed all the players off the websites.
Yeah.
You can't see any transactions there. So as of right now, everything's frozen in baseball. What will happen? Will both sides come to an agreement? When I say both sides, players and owners.
Yes.
Will this bleed into the regular season? If it does, me, Bonte Hill, will then have an issue with this. Right now, it's not bothering me too much because I want baseball to try to get this right because there's a lot of flaws within the system.
I just find the business of sports fascinating, and I find this negotiation to be extremely fascinating. Bonte, you are a TV guy now. You understand you understand the inner workings of how television works. You're also a huge sports consumer. Bonte, you go to games. I've seen you sitting behind Fred Warner at a Giants playoff game. I've seen you
in the end zone at a 49er game. Time out. Fred Warner was sitting behind me. Let's just get that right.
Look how happy you are. Look how happy you are.
Fred Warner was sitting behind me.
Look how, I love how happy you are. You are cheeky.
I had an aisle seat.
Congratulations.
You know, Fred Warner had to say, hey, excuse me, please, can I get to
the aisle? No, he didn't. Did you get up and go, hey, big dog, you want me to get you something?
I did not do that. No, I did not.
But my point being is that you understand kind of like both sides of this. Because
it is. No doubt.
Let's agree.
No doubt.
Let's agree here. I love going to the games. Going to the games is a tiny fraction of the amount of people consuming the product in general. The television and streaming is where the bulk of your fan base and your consumers come from.
Well, it's why some regions don't have any sideline reporters anymore. because they're saying to ourselves, you know what, instead of going to the sideline reporter for a minute,
okay,
we can use that minute to sell ad space.
Got you.
And make more money.
I didn't know that.
So some regions do that. Some regions do that where they're like, you know what, we're gonna step back and we're not going to pay because we could get this ad space and get a lot more money instead of having to report about the game where we could just have the play-by-play announcer or the color analyst do that. We could sell this ad space. They're going to sell everything. You see it on the mound now. Yeah. They're selling whatever everything. It is. So I mean, it's
everything.
Everything.
They're putting graphics all over the field
on the
at
mound,
all times. Yes.
Behind
the
behind
Aflac
the dish.
Change, this,
no,
that.
It's ridiculous.
The speedy oil change. So, but here's where I'm going at with this. The NFL, when I'm watching an NFL game, I know whether my team is the Jaguars or the Cowboys or the Patriots or the Rams or the Niners, whoever, I'm signing up for 3.5 hours at most every week for 17 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's what's being asked of me as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I know exactly what's happening. There's a clock. Now, can a game go 3 hours? Yeah, like that one that where they ran the ball like crazy, the Niners, and it was a shortened game. Yeah, can you go to overtime? For sure. It might be 4 hours. Basketball, there's a clock, okay? I know, for the most part, if a game starts at 7, it'll be done by about 9:30.
Yep.
Right? In baseball, I have no idea when that game's going to end. And because of that, I think they, more than any other sport, need to be creative in how they repackage it for television. And that's why I'm looking at other slow-moving sports. Golf, I'm looking at you. Yep. What does golf do well? Well, during the downtime, they're selling you the ads before and in between shots and in between different things that happen. And I'm looking at baseball and I'm saying to myself, there's too much downtime. That's when they need to insert more commercials and stop having the traditional commercial break.
But you know what, though? As we go deep into the weeds here.
Yeah, because you know it. That's why I'm asking.
It's too much downtime, yes. But that's a product of baseball.
I know.
There's not a lot of action. So if you give me more product and more ads in baseball, I'm going to probably tune out even more because it's like, man, I'm watching a 3.5 hour commercial. What am I doing here?
Even if you have picture in picture, and what I mean by that is a small screen showing the action still with the bigger bubble saying, oh, you know, here's da-da-da-da. We're going to go right back to the baseball.
It's going to become annoying. It's going to become annoying.
But do you change the channel?
Maybe.
Because when we go to commercial, I change channels.
Oh, I change channels all day.
So
I'm not a commercial guy.
I'm
not a commercial guy. This is why
I hate commercials.
Super Bowl Sunday, when everybody goes crazy over the commercials, I'm like, dude, that's when I go get more food.
Yeah.
That's when I go get another beer. That's when I go use the restroom. I'm not a commercial guy at all.
Yeah, YouTube drives me nuts.
I change
when I have to go through five full seconds of a commercial.
I know what games are on, and I got my... All right, here's the A game.
Yes.
Here's the B game.
Yes.
Here's the C game.
I'm going
if
last.
The A game, if the A game isn't going to commercial, I'm going to the B game.
Yeah,
B game isn't commercial, I'm going to the C game. So, but I just want to know, is anybody outraged about this? Because until they miss a game, I'm not going to be outraged by this. Do I want them to get it right? Do I want them to help out the players? Sure. But I'm not going to be outraged at all. Let's go to Willa Marin real quick. Willa Marin, then we'll get to Phil on mic. Will, what's up? What's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I think what baseball should do is that I kind of like that clock when you were there. They had like 2 minutes in between innings, so it was kind of quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think where baseball's lacking is a lot of their uniforms are pretty plain when you look at them. If you look at a lot of international sports that are always running continuously and don't have time for commercial breaks, baseball should put more of their sponsors on their uniforms
so
that you can see it. And then the guys like me and Bonte that don't like commercials, the sponsors are still getting paid and we're getting more of the product. I understand that, you know, they think it could be ugly, it can alter it, but embroider it in some way where it looks and fits the uniform. You'd save a lot of time, you'd give more product to the people, and I think that could really help baseball.
I totally agree.
That's a good call, and I think it's coming. Basketball's already done it. You see the sponsorships, and it doesn't get in the way of anything.
I don't even know what Rakuten is, I know what Rakuten is because it's on the Warrior jersey, but I don't even really know what it is.
But you forget the sponsors even on the jersey.
Oh, no, it's...
Remember there was an outrage,
it's
like, oh, my gosh, it fumbles on the Clipper jerseys.
Yeah.
Oh, man, how's it going to look?
The GE on the Celtics.
Yeah, but you know what? We don't even trip off of it anymore.
Not at all. But I do think there's a fine line. And look, purists will lose their minds. Get over it. Mm-hmm. Like, get over it. If it means the product I'm watching is better, I'm all for it.
Let's go to Philmo Mike in the city. Philmo, what's happening, man? You're on the morning roast.
What's going on, man? Hey, man, you can't be getting on court curly line if you don't even know the word to the classic A Tribe Called Quest. He was up there talking about Bonita Applebaum. It's Bonita Applebum. Oh, man, you need to stick to sports, Bonte. No music. You can't be calling yourself a hip-hop head. You don't even know Q-Tip lyrics, bro.
He ain't no rap cat. He's not a Nicotina rap cat.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Man, I'm out here shaking my head.
Hey, Fillmore. You knew what the hell I was talking about, though, right? You knew what I was talking about.
You can't mess that up.
You knew what I was talking about.
Womp there it is.
I may do womp there it is. That sounds like my grandma doing that, man. Philbo, you got a sports take, man. Don't get on me about my hip-hop. So I'm the sports talk radio host, man. What you got? What you got a take? Got a take today?
Yeah, he says you suck.
Man, I got a take, man. I got a take. Stick to sports.
hey, Philbo, do you know what a Makita is? Oh, you got rid of him? All right. Coming with the drive-by. That's okay.
Here's something that I want to say to the fans, because I'm kind of getting this sentiment on YouTube right now. I'm getting this sentiment on Twitch. You can search us out. Search 957 The Game. If you're a fan of baseball and you're a consumer like we are, you are, Bonte, right. I am. I mean, I went to all the playoff games, right? I mean, I love baseball. What's your message? 888-957-9570. I want you to give me a call, and I want you to tell me, what would your message be to the players and the owners to either get them together, if you have a suggestion to help the situation? What is your message to the players and the owners so they can get this damn thing done? Because I'm telling you, B, I think more people are with you than you want to admit. If they miss one day.
They miss one day.
If they miss one day.
Miss one day.
In this era.
Try me.
That's what
try
I'm saying.
Me. I dare you.
People are testing their kids for COVID.
Right.
And they're getting locked down left
try
and right.
Me.
We're worried about a new Omni, whatever the hell it is, variant. We're losing our minds. People are trying to count how much money they could spend for Christmas this year. Maybe they didn't see their family. And baseball owners are crying over $9 billion and how to divide the pie. I want to hear from the fans what their message is to these players and owners.
Rob Manfred just said, we made a proposal yesterday.
Oh, this guy.
If it had been accepted, it would have provided a clear path towards an agreement. It's Rob Manfred, according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today.
This is a big zero. As in, that's the amount of faith I have in Rob Manfred in general.
So I sit back.
Oh, my God.
I sit back along with the Anthony and Fairfields, the Nick and Berkeleys. Go ahead and miss one game.
Yeah.
Go ahead and miss one game. You won't get a damn penny from me next season. I guarantee that, Chasky. There would be no MLB TV on my app. I won't spend a penny on baseball. You go on strike. You go ahead and do that. Do that and try me. Try me. Try Anthony and Fairfield. Go try Nick and Berkeley. I'm serious. Now I'm starting to get upset here because this is a billion-dollar business. Chasky, I'm not talking. Billion-dollar business. Let's go to break. I can't even hear myself. It's so loud, man. I can wait till break, man. All right. It's coming up on a game brought to you by Exogen Thermometers. Accuracy matters. Fever is the leading sign of COVID. So make sure you have an accurate thermometer. The Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by science. It's the accurate thermometer you need and can trust. Be vigilant and learn more at Exogen.com.
Fillmore Mike, dude, he got you rattled.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee with Bonte and Shasky.
It's beginning to fall. And the day of Thanksgiving has come and gone.
It's come and gone, Joe and Bonte. Thanksgiving.
Silver bells begin to ring.
What are you staring at? Are you going to go into the show? Or?
Who is this?
Brian McKnight.
Brian McKnight.
Yeah. You go to the Odyssey exclusive stations. They got all the holiday playlists you want, and this is on the Pop Classic Christmas playlist. So just go to the search bar on the Odyssey app, go to the exclusive stations, go to the holiday section, and boom.
Is this just me, or is this a little sensual for Christmas?
I mean, it might be right. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit sensual.
Did you ever watch South Park?
Yes, I've watched South Park.
Okay, when Cartman makes the Christian album where he's making love to God,
right.
It's yeah. One of the funniest of all time. That's what this reminds
me
of.
When does... I don't even want to get into this because it's around the same time. We always do this where you guys try to get on me about something.
What's that?
Filmo Mike got the party started early with a little drive-by about my lyrics about music. All right, Filmo, I got something for you. Got something for you coming.
What's that?
When is it too early to play Christmas music?
I don't know. You tell us. You are,
No, I'm not the guy.
Ebenezer Scrooge over there.
Apparently, in this world, you could put up a Christmas tree in April. I mean, for crying out loud.
Anytime prior to December 8th, Joe, is the answer. And not allowed to play Christmas music before December 8th, because Christmas officially starts on December 8th, according to Bonte Hill.
Do you walk into like a Whole Foods or, you know, a Molly Stones and they're playing Christmas music and you're just throwing your hands up?
No, I just kind of...
Slapping the tomatoes off the, you know, the perfect display. Like, get this Christmas music out of here.
No, look, Christmas music is not snitching music, 650, and this is where AirPods come into play. You just play your own little playlist. Yeah. Just kind of ignore it. Plus, usually when I go into Molly Stones now or Whole Foods, Baby Chez is rocking with me, so got to keep her entertained, and I'm chopping it up with her, having a nice little conversation, which I'm basically doing all the talking. Mm. She's just doing all the looking.
She did say hi to Uncle Joe yesterday.
She did say hi to Uncle Joe yesterday.
Yeah.
She butt dialed you. She was playing on the phone watching Coco Melons.
She wanted to know why my takes are so incredible and wanted me to expand on them in a private show.
She said,
Wanted to get the details on baseball's lockout.
Yes. Okay, if you're just joining us right
now.
Hold on.
The new Odyssey exclusive station on the Odyssey app, brought to you in part by Macy's, Geico, and Coke Zero Sugar. We want to get that read in because yesterday we waited like 20 minutes because we're talking about Makita's and Milwaukee's and Waltz. And,
I actually rewound it and went back and listened on the Odyssey app.
Was it good? Was it better than...
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And probably went a little long, you know, for the boss's liking, but that's okay.
I'm out. You guys talk about construction. You know, Matt Nahegan just had, I think he had a flood in his house, so he had to do some work there.
Was it him trying to shove one of those bright shirts down the toilet?
Now, Matt, wow. Drive-by, so I'm not doing that to Matt Nahegan, our program director. I'm not driving him by. I'm not hitting you with a drive-by. Shasky is. Look, Matt Nahegan, you imagine him putting up Christmas lights?
Oh, dude, if you want to talk about Griswold.
Oh, man.
You want to talk about construction, you guys are digging yourselves a big old hole right now.
That guy can't even change a tire either. I was on the phone with him last week. He's like, hey, I'm going to start a road, got a flat tire.
When was the last time you changed a tire?
Last time I had a flat.
Okay.
Last time Anna had a flat.
Yeah, was that in this millennium?
Yeah, a couple years ago. I could get down to change a tire, dog.
Yeah.
I could change a tire, man. That's something
I could
do.
You have the appropriate equipment in the car to be able to hike the car up and switch it up.
I got a jack in the car. I got two jacks in the car.
Oh, two.
I got jumper cables in case your battery dies.
Thank you, Wesley.
Yeah, if your battery dies, I got the jumper cables for you.
Two jacks.
I got everything for you,
man. Congratulations.
I'm always going to be prepared, man. You're not going to have me stuck on the side of the road. Oh, no. Not going to have me stuck like the players are right now in Major League Baseball. And according to Bob Nightingale, of course, if you're just joining us, we will get the Niners and Seahawks. Rob Parker's going to join us at 8 o'clock to talk. He had a tweet the other day after the Phoenix Suns game about Steph Curry. Oh, we're going to get into it. We will get into it here on the Morning Rush with Rob Parker.
And he's also a huge baseball fan.
Huge baseball fan. So
and
we'll
I really
this.
Respect his right. baseball opinions.
Got him for baseball, but.
I love him for baseball.
He had the Steph Curry tweet as
he's
well.
He's the Gamote.
Yeah, we got to get into it. He's
okay.
His Twitter fingers
I'll
are moving a little too fast.
That.
Oh, you going to punk out on me?
I like Rob. He's a friend.
You going to let Rob Parker just do Steph Curry like that?
I mean, he could say whatever he wants.
Well, you going to let him just slide, huh?
Let him slide.
Biggest Warrior fan here. Biggest Warrior fan here.
He's the Gamal.
He was just wearing the Warriors warm-up, and you just go just not have my back on this.
There's
one?
Something that I like to call to each his own. And, you know, if you have an opinion, it doesn't mean you're right or wrong. It's, you know, that's his opinion.
Wow.
I completely disagree with it.
San Francesco.
You know, I'm becoming
out.
A more reserved, mature me.
You're becoming San Francesco right now. Jim Bardet, 8:30.
Oh.
Got JB. It's been a while for JB. But we're hot on baseball right now because last night at 9 p.m. West Coast time, baseball locked out its players. Mm-hmm. Baseball is frozen right now, which means no major league deals can go on. No trades, mm-mm. No signings, no nothing. And the sides right now are very far apart, the players and the owners. Bob Nightingale, 17 minutes ago, just tweeted out that Commissioner Rob Manfred said that the union is seeking a $100 million reduction in revenue sharing. A $100 million reduction in revenue sharing. Rob Manfred on the lockout. It's not a good thing for the sport. We understand it's bad for business. We made a proposal yesterday. If it had been accepted, it would have provided a clear path towards an agreement. Rob Manfred also said there has not been any on-field rule changes proposed in their labor talks. So here's what I stand, and we can get back into everything here. Oh, by the way, Tony Clark's statement. Let me read this one real quick, Shasky.
Tony Clark,
the executive director of the Players Union. This drastic and unnecessary measure will not affect the players' resolve to reach a fair contract. We remain committed to negotiating a new collective bargaining agreement that enhances competition, improves the product for our fans, and advances the rights and benefits of our membership. So what does all that mean? All the players, all the teams are saying, fans, be patient. Well, I'm patient because it's the offseason. There's no games being played until late March. But as I said before the break, it is Anthony and Fairfield said, Nick and Berkeley said, and Charlie Baker Jr. on Twitter, if you miss any games and it trickles into the regular season, bye-bye, I'm out. I will treat you like horse racing. I will treat you like boxing, where you may get a mention every 4 months. I'm dead serious, Shasky.
Bye.
I won't talk Giants baseball on here. You can talk Giants baseball. I'll sit back and relax. But after the pandemic and everything we've gone through, and sitting at your games for 3.5 hours and dealing with all your rule changes and all the all-star stuff, deciding home field advantage over the years, I'm done with this. How can you be this poorly run in 2021? Baseball. Go ahead and miss a few games. I won't spend a dime on that sport. I promise you. I won't spend a single dime on baseball in 2022.
Well, you know I love the game of baseball. It's ingrained in me. And I do find the business aspect to be quite fascinating. Bonte, I just look at Rob Manfred. And does he strike you as someone who's a deal maker?
No, he strikes me as somebody who's incompetent.
That's exactly my point. And what they need now more than ever is they need swashbucklers who can get deals done. You can say whatever you want about Jerry Jones. Is Jerry Jones a deal maker?
He does make deals.
Right? Jerry Jones is a deal maker. Think about the strong ownership that you have in the NBA. Are those guys deal makers?
Yep.
Yeah, is Joe Lacob a deal maker?
Get things done.
I mean, come on. Right?
Mark Cuban gets deals done. Mickey Arison doesn't say much, the Miami Heat, look at their business model.
Exactly. Now let's think about baseball's owners. Think about any of them. Pick anyone you want. Can you name one clear-cut deal, like deal breaker, a guy who's out here wheeling and dealing? Can't say no to him. And ain't Derek Jeter running the Marlins, that's for damn sure. Had three MVPs and traded them all away in one offseason. It definitely ain't the A's. It's not the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, they could be smart in business. I think you look at a team right now like the Los Angeles Dodgers. Their ownership is a deal-making ownership group.
The Dodgers.
Right? You got to give them love.
Larry Bear makes moves happen.
I agree with you.
He makes moves.
But, Bonte, they don't have the cachet of owners that are like, what are we doing? Read the room here. We need to make a deal. Like, that's what they need. And here's the part that lets me down.
We got breaking news real quick. Faye Vincent was the commissioner of Major League Baseball during the 1990 lockout. He's going to join us at 7:40 today.
Okay, good.
In about 13 minutes. Faye Vincent.
So, Bonte, you have talked about this. Let's reset this one before he comes in. You have talked about this ad nauseum. Young kids playing sports right now. What are they gravitating to?
Football, basketball.
Lacrosse, soccer.
I mean, they're not playing baseball.
There are, but not maybe. Like it was when we were growing up.
Shasky, I drive by a lot of parks now.
Yeah, but that's inner city.
And I've been doing that. Inner city, out of city. Yeah. I'm on the peninsula
now. Suburbs, they love their baseball.
They do love their baseball. You know? But man, I don't see kids playing rundown. I don't see kids playing strikeout. I used to go to Wallenberg.
I know.
Wallenberg High School.
We played against the neighbor's garage. If you hit it into their yard, you're screwed. So I just look at the lesson that they should have learned from Kyler Murray. And they didn't learn anything. Think about it. They had one of the biggest stars in college sports, Kyler Murray, a two-sport athlete who was drafted by the Oakland A's, probably the worst spot he could have been drafted by. Okay? And he had an opportunity to learn a lesson from that. What did Kyler Murray say to them? Even though I am the smallest quarterback to ever go at number one overall, even though I had 1 year of football tape, he said, I am going to the Arizona Cardinals, not the Dallas Cowboys. Bonte, not the New England Patriots. Yep. He went to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
Okay? And he is on deck to set himself up with a $275 million deal after this offseason. He'd be riding a bus in some podunk town somewhere that we'd never even heard of. Joey Bart was drafted when?
First round.
Yeah, no, when?
Oh,
like five years ago.
Yeah. 5 years ago.
We still haven't seen him. I still have no clue.
We wouldn't even know if he's good anymore.
Chris Bryant's been a World Series champion. Chris Bryant's been a Rookie of the Year, an MVP, a multiple-time All-Star, and at 30 years old is finally set to hit free agency for the first time in his life. Meanwhile, in the other sports, you got the De'Aaron Foxes and the Kirk Cousins, mediocre players. They're average. They're good. They're average players making ridiculous coin early on. Baseball, you are screwing up the entire business model.
It doesn't sound
too many players don't hit free agency in their prime. The arbitration needs to be reduced, and that's what the crux of this entire lockout is. Right. 6 years to get to free agency.
It should be three.
Four, maybe even.
Four at most, because again, these kids may be drafted at 23, 24, 25, 22. Some kids go to community college. Some kids redshirt. Some kids don't get out of college until they're 23, 24 years old. So all of a sudden, 4 years, and I'm 28 years old.
Exactly.
And I'm just now hitting free agency. Man, look at Yaz. He's 30 years old, not even making $1 million. He's playing it for the San Francisco Giants.
I know.
In right field.
I know.
In front of this fan base, and he's not even making $1 million at the age of 30. Now, again,
Mohamed Sanu is more well paid than Mike Yastrzemski.
Absolutely. It's not even funny.
And one guy batted fourth for the Giants a majority of the year.
It's not even funny, man. So, look, they have an issue off the field. On the field, I thought the game was fine.
It was fun this year.
It was I had a lot of fun watching baseball.
You're going to see some DH tweaking.
Right. Yeah, the shifts and everything. People are adjusting to it. We're starting to see more speed out there.
I love the shift.
I love what Starling Marte did with the A's, running
so
around
sick.
The base
yes.
pass. I love the old school Atlanta Braves approach there when it comes to offense. But you know what? You miss a game because of what you can't figure out in the offices. And when it comes to the paperwork of everything, because certain teams don't want to spend, I'm done with you. 888-957-9570. Faye Vincent, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, will join us in about 9 minutes here because he was part of the 1990 lockout. So we're going to ask him, basically, what is a lockout like? How did you figure this out? How far apart were you with the players back in 1990? Mm-hmm. And how did you prevent Major League Baseball from missing games in 1990? 94, we know what happened. The game shut down in August. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a World Series champ.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, Shasky, I didn't come back to baseball until the 1997 World Series when it was the Cleveland Indians and the Florida Marlins. I swear to you, I did not come back. The 95, 96 baseball years, I don't remember them because I was done. They broke my heart as a kid. Matt Williams was going for the Major League single-season home run record, trying to surpass Roger Maris. He was at 43 home runs. Barry Bonds had 37 home runs and was going for a triple crown and was on fire. The Giants are starting to roll. They were leading a wild card. Dodgers were in first place by five games. Expos were in first place. It was going to be a fascinating playoff. It was a year after the Giants won 103 games. But I was done for 2.5 years. There are some people who have never came back to the sport.
Yeah.
Now, if you miss any games this year, you may be done forever. I'm 39 years old. I'll treat baseball like it's horse racing. I won't give a damn. I'm dead, Shasky. You know I'm dead serious.
I know you
here.
Are.
I'm chilling right now, but if you mess around and miss some games after what this country's just, what this world has just gone through, I won't be back, man. I won't be back. I'll be done.
Well, and especially if you look at a market like the San Francisco Giants' market. I mean, think about what this fan base did for that team down the stretch. That place was packed, was it not?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Did we buy merchandise? I don't know. Did you guys see those City Connect jerseys all around
Man,
the city?
Everybody was rocking those.
I mean, come
all
on.
All the kids are rocking those.
I don't want to hear about them crying that they're broke and that they're all far apart on money. Like, figure it out. Like, this is what Rob Manfred, you know how much he gets paid a year?
How much?
How much you think?
Well, Goodell was getting paid like 40. Is he getting paid Goodell money?
No, no. Goodell makes $64 million a year, and he's worth every penny. Goodell's
worth
every
penny.
Well,
he was making 40, 50,
Yeah, he's
60.
Worth every penny, though,
I don't
Monte.
Know about that. That's a conversation for another
You know
day.
Why? You know why he's worth every penny? Because he makes his constituents tons and tons
he
and
does.
Tons of cash.
He
you cannot
does.
Deny that. He's got the number one ranked television product, and he's got the number one product in across the world. All right?
We can agree to disagree on
Manfred
that.
Manfred makes more than the entire Miami Marlin infield. $11 million a year.
That still might be too much for Manfred.
That's what I'm saying.
It still might be too
I
much
have zero
that.
Faith in him to figure this out.
So
zero
what happens
faith.
Then? Then what happens? Are we going on a strike?
Are we done? I think they're going to be really far apart, and I think they're going to continue to be because you have obviously the arbitration sticking points because how many years it takes for someone to get to free agency. Then you have some of the lower tiered points. How many teams are going to make the playoffs, pitching, all those things, roster stuff. That's the on-the-field stuff. Forget that. How much are the A's and the Tigers and the Indians and the Rays and the Marlins, how much are they going to spend? Like, that's what I want to know. I want to know how much they're going to spend. You want to say what you want about the Sacramento Kings, Bonte? You know, most people think that the Sacramento Kings aren't the most well-run organization.
They're not. That's a fact.
You
they're
know what
not.
One thing they do? They hit the minimum. They spend their $100 and $115 million every single year like they should. Now, we can argue about whether it's good money spent, but at least they're spending it. You know what I know these bottom-tier baseball teams aren't doing? Spending money. But I know that they're collecting that revenue share check. It's a nightmare. The system of baseball, the financial system, should have been broken up a long time ago. We have two and three different tiers of leagues out there. You have the haves.
Yep.
You have the well-run teams that are running on a shoestring budget. And then you have the complete have-nots. It's just, it's whack.
Let's go to Manny real quick in the city before we get to Faye Vincent. He was the eighth commissioner of Major League Baseball from September 13th of 1989 to September 7th of 1992. Let's go to Manny real quick before we get to Faye Vincent. What's
up,
Manny?
How's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, I just want to give you my perspective real quick on, you know, I have a nine-year-old who's just getting into baseball right now. Like, he's out there, you know, playing ball. He's just starting to go to games. And this is where you become a fan for life.
Yes.
You know, doing something like this, you're going to lose him. You're going to lose this guy, kid, for who knows how long. Like, right now, he loves ball. He loves playing ball. He's all about Giants. He wants to see every game. And you might lose him for life. And, you know, the future of the game, it could change it.
It can. Thanks for the call, Manny. And that's the thing for the kids. Kids need to see the product. They need to see these players on the field. You know, right now, it's the all season and player kids. Like as a kid, I wanted to see who was going where. Like right now, I'm a little. This morning when I came in, I wasn't as ticked off about the lock. I was like, all right, wait till you miss a game.
I was pretty heated.
But now you were heated. You were hot.
I was ready to start the show at 4:44.
Yeah, you were running hot. But now that I think about it, Shasky, here it is 7:36 AM. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, I gotta wait to see where Chris Bryant's going.
I know.
I don't even know what team the Giants are gonna field.
The guy waited 6 years, seven technically, to get to free agency, and now he's gotta wait another couple of months to get paid.
I'm thinking like, damn, what, like, okay, I gotta sit here and debate about Alex Cobb being the fourth starter on the Giants and whether or not that's a great move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm starting to get a little bothered now by the lockout. Because baseball, after having some quiet hot stove seasons, remember we were all complaining, man, baseball's off season.
Yeah,
because
they've been
players are waiting.
The average salary has clipped down every year for 10 straight years.
Right, and J.D. Martinez is waiting a long time. You know, yeah. Bryce Harper's waiting a long time to sign. And now all of a sudden, you got things cooking. Marcus Semien on a Sunday signing for big money. Corey Seager signing for big money. Oh, Robbie Ray going to Seattle for big money. I'm like, okay, hot stove is cooking this year.
Yeah.
It's cooking. I'm into it. It's November. It's in the heat of football season, right where the NBA is starting to take off here. The Golden State Warriors are 18-3. And yet I'm saying, we're talking a little baseball in late November. How about that? And now you're locked out. Now you're locked out because from what I see, and Jeff Passan wrote about this 5 years ago, he saw this coming in 2021.
Yeah, a lot of people
saw it
did.
Coming
yeah.
5 years ago. It felt like baseball, the players, the owners, the commissioner, it felt like they didn't even try to come to a resolution. Didn't it feel like that? There was no sense of urgency. Like, at least in the NFL, when they were locked out in 2011, there was a sense of urgency to get these players on the field.
I agree.
And there was a united front. Now, the deal wasn't as great for the players, no doubt about it, but they figured it out. It just felt like baseball, the sport itself. And I'm putting everybody in the category. I'm throwing the players in the pot, the union in the pot.
I'm with you.
I'm throwing the owners in the pot. I'm throwing the commissioner in the pot. It felt like there was no sense of urgency to get this done.
But this started before the pandemic. Okay, when the pandemic happened, what was the one team that was about ready to start their season and couldn't get their thing together and had to wait until after July 4th to get started? What was the sport?
Baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have figured the whole thing out. Did you not see the microcosm of greedy that was like seeping through the television as we were watching on a daily basis when they couldn't even come to an agreement? The world was like shattering around businesses getting shut down, schools shut down, every state's getting locked down. And baseball's like, I don't want to pay you an extra $1 million. I don't want to have 85 games. Let's have 60. Like, they showed you how transparently greedy they were during the pandemic negotiations.
All right, let's go to a special guest here. He served as the 8th commissioner of Major League Baseball from September 30th in 1989 to September 7th of 1992. He's a legend. Faye Vincent, he joins the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game with Joe Shasky, the Butcher, and Bonte Hill. As baseball has frozen out the players, it's locked out right now. No moves can happen at the major league level. No trades, no signings, no nothing. How long will it last? We have no idea. But let's go to Faye Vincent because he was part of the 1990 lockout. And Faye, good morning. Thank you for joining us on such short notice here. Take us through what happened in the 1990 lockout that lasted 32 days and eliminated most of spring training.
Well, let me first say I'm delighted to talk to people in San Francisco because I have such memories of that miserable earthquake in 89 that blew our World Series apart and left me there with a proverbial mess on my hands. And I have great memories of San Francisco. Look, the 1990 lockout was for me. I was a brand new commissioner. Bart Giamatti had died the preceding September. The lockout was in the winter of 1990. And I think there are three things to say about lockouts. One, it's a failure, and it's hard to put a good light on it. These are two sides in the same industry, the players and the owners. When I left baseball, I warned that the owners and the players had made no real effort to build a common strategy to come together in some sort of partnership, and that until they came together and recognized they were in the same business and they were supposed to work together to protect the business and treat the customers, the fans, fairly, it was going to be difficult. Well, I was right. That's 30-some years ago. and baseball is now trying again to go to war with each other, when in fact they have to come together and work together. There has to be an agreement that the game, the industry, it's a huge $11 billion business. Everybody's making enormous amount of money. The average salary in baseball is in the range of $4 million. I mean, that is not what we ordinarily think of when we think of a union. If the average salary of every employee is $4 million, we have a different idea, a different concept of union. So the last point is this. Until they work out an attitude, a recognition that this kind of economic warfare, after all, a collective bargaining breakdown is really economic warfare. It's two sides, each one trying to destroy the other. That cannot make sense, or even harm each other. The one thing we know is everybody in baseball at the moment, from the top down, is making an enormous amount of money. I think the salary for Bud Selig when he retired was $50 million. I was paid $650,000, as was Bart and Peter Ueberroth.
Wow.
I think Selig's pension is $10 million.
Wow.
So we're talking about a business that is booming. I don't know what Manfred is paid, but he's paid an awful lot of money.
Yeah, and I want to get into the negotiation side of it, and I have some other questions for you as well. When you're in these rooms and you're behind the scenes here, who are the power brokers? I think of other sports and someone like Jerry Jones and how influential he can be in a room of his peers. Who are the current baseball power brokers who are going to be trying to strike a deal here?
Well, you know, that's a fair question, and I'm totally out of date. Obviously, there will be some owners who are interested, bright, aggressive, have some respect of the others, and all the people that I dealt with are now out of baseball. The one who's probably got a major voice still is Reinsdorf of the Chicago White Sox. He's very bright, very, very aggressive, very anti-union, and was very involved in collusion. So, but I can't answer who's involved. There will be some owners. The big clubs always want to get settled, whatever deal. Steinbrenner used to call me and say, I don't care what you do, get it solved. Your job is to get us back on the field. And, of course, he was saying the big clubs are going to make money no matter what happens.
Right.
Yeah. Faye, you know, your perspective is needed right now because you brought up a lot about the money, and some of the owners understand that we just can't do this right now. I mean, we're coming out of a pandemic. People have lost their family members. They've lost their jobs. The money is through the roof. It's so not relatable to the common fan who is a consumer of the product. Does that resonate at all with the people here that are making these decisions? Because, God, it just feels like they lack perspective.
Well, you know, I come from the movie business. I've been around entertainment for most of my life. The sad fact is that the dollars, the compensation, nobody goes to a movie and is offended by the fact that, because they really don't know, what is the major star making for making this movie? And the answer is millions and millions of dollars. And the difference between baseball and the movie or television business is in the television and movie business, the owners include the talent. So the actor in these television shows, Seinfeld, for example, made tens if not hundreds of millions of dollars by owning a piece of Seinfeld, and it will be going long after he's dead. The players in baseball have sadly never gotten any ownership interest. And it's interesting to me, guys, that in this negotiation, the players and the agents have continued to accept the fact that they're going to end up paying ordinary income tax on all this money that they're making, when in fact the owners are building a capital asset on which, when they make the sale, they will pay a capital gains tax. And although Biden and others have threatened to screw around with capital gains taxation. They haven't, and they won't. And so this whole industry of sports is totally contrary to every other business I've ever known, in that it doesn't take into account taxes. And yet the tax rate on ordinary income at the upper level in this country is well over 50-60%, including the states, especially California and New York. So until there's a sophistication and a recognition that this whole structure for baseball has to be redone. But look, I tried and I failed terribly. I tried to bring the owners and the players into recognition that fighting with each other never works.
Right.
Everybody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. Faye Vincent, former commissioner of baseball from September 13th of 1989 to September 7th of 1992, here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game with Joe Shasky, the Butcher, and Bonte Hill. Baseball locked out its players late last night, 9 p.m. on the West Coast, midnight on the East Coast. Of course, we're talking to Faye Vincent here because what a lot of fans want to know is, Faye, what goes on behind the scenes during negotiations like this? What goes on in these meetings with the owners, the players union rep? What goes on behind the scenes, Faye?
Well, as the pressure builds, and it won't build until we get closer to the season being blown away, or part of it being blown away, the question is, what's the compromise? Where's the middle ground? And, of course, the real question is, what are we trying to achieve together? Are we going to try to build a business and begin to market it in a much better way? Are we going to try to make it more fan-friendly? Are we going to try to get some of the games, some of the aspects of the game, like the cost of going to a game, the Coca-Cola, the hot dog, the parking. The cost for the ordinary citizen going to Yankee Stadium is simply prohibitive. It is not true around the country. There are other parts where it isn't quite as expensive or even anywhere near as expensive, but it is still a major undertaking. I have people that I'm close to try to go to Yankee Stadium, and it is enormously expensive for an ordinary couple to bring their son. I have a couple that work for me, and it's very hard for them to go to Yankee, though they love baseball. So I think that what's happened is that everybody at baseball is doing great, except the little people, the people who work in the stadium, the groundskeepers, mm-hmm. the people who sell programs, the people who sell hot dogs. You know, when the season gets cut or spring training gets cut, the people that get hurt are basically the small people. Mm-hmm. The union says we have a huge strike fund. We have enough money to take care of ourselves. Of course they do. But what about all the people who are tied to baseball and nobody pays any attention? Look around San Francisco. If the season doesn't open on time in San Francisco, you and others won't be paying much attention, but there are a lot of people that are going to be hurt, and mm-hmm. they're not baseball employees. They're people who are on the fringe of baseball. Yeah.
Faye, you are like dropping so much knowledge. We've got the former commissioner of baseball, Faye Vincent, with us. It's just absolutely incredible. You're bringing up all the tax ramifications or lack thereof when it comes to owning a sports team. They do depreciation on stadiums. You're hitting all the nails on the head here, and I find it to be so fascinating. I want to get into just one of the key sticking points here. There's obviously how much money each team's going to spend is one element of it, but the arbitration years. You're saying that you come from the entertainment industry, and I always use other sports as an example. Could you imagine the NFL suppressing a talent so that they could save a couple bucks and manipulate his contract and not play that star rookie quarterback? Could you imagine basketball not playing LeBron James because they want to hang on to him for an extra year? Why do we do this in baseball, and why is it such an accepted practice if it's clearly hurting the actual product of the game?
Well, because underneath it all is the question of money. And, you know, the general perception, guys, is that over the last 20, 30 years, the union has done a spectacular job of protecting the players, and it has. But think of what it hasn't done. It hasn't gotten a share. When the Mets were sold last year for $2.6 or $2.7 billion, did the players get any money out of that? Was there any payment to a fund of all the Mets players in the last 20 years who contributed to the value of the Mets? The answer is no. The Yankees are worth $8 or $9 billion today. Think of that.
Wow.
Steinbrenner paid $9 million for the team in 71 or 2. One of the greatest investments in the history of American commerce was Steinbrenner's purchase of the Yankees. And yet, if the Yankees were sold tomorrow for $9 billion or 10 or 8, would any of the players who helped build, would Jeter, would any of the great Yankees of the last 30 years get any money? The answer is no. So the sad story is that everybody's announced that the union has been enormously successful. I'm arguing to you that the great laugh is that the owners still own 105% of the industry of baseball.
Wow. Wow. Faye, real quick, we got a couple questions for you before we end this, before we get you out of here. If you could share any advice with the Major League Baseball commissioner, with the owners, and with the Players Association today, what would you say to them?
I would say to get some really acknowledged and reputable and decent and caring person. And my candidate is Steve Greenberg. Steve Greenberg was my deputy commissioner. He's the son of Hank Greenberg. He's the most respected person in baseball you've never heard of. Manfred told me once that my greatest contribution to baseball was to bring Steve Greenberg into baseball. And I would hire and get Steve Greenberg. He probably wouldn't do it. But the idea is to put Steve Greenberg in a room and have him talk about the bigger topic, what I'm talking about. How do we build an industry? How do we build and rebuild goodwill between the two sides? How do we stop trying to kill each other? How do we build an industry that's thinking about the customer? Look, the fans are the customers. Coca-Cola spends fortunes worrying about customers. Baseball treats customers as if they're a necessary problem. We have to pay attention, but we don't like it. Well, the two parties in this room, who's representing the public? Who's representing the interests? Well, I would get Steve Greenberg. I'd bring him in immediately. I'd say, Steve, make it work out. I will tell you, in 1990, when I was running the lockout or trying to solve it, Steve Greenberg went off on a Sunday night with Don Fehr, the president of the union, right outside my office, just the two of them. They trusted each other. Steve worked for me. Fehr was the head of the union. And in about an hour, late at night, they had agreement between themselves on the remaining issues. And they solved the little knots that kept the two sides apart. So Steve Greenberg has a history of being a magician. And I think what baseball needs is somebody in the room who has credibility, stature, independence. Steve is one of the most successful investment bankers on every business or sports deal involving football, basketball, and baseball. He's involved. He's at Allen & Company, and he is a brilliant human being.
Wow. Faye Vincent here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Real quick, Faye, because we're up against it. The Hall of Fame ballot has been released, and Barry Bonds, you know we're out here in San Francisco, and this is the last time he's on this ballot to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame here. Is he a Hall of Famer? Do you see Barry Bonds as a Hall of Famer, and would you vote him in to the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think he is a Hall of Famer in the sense he certainly has the ability. He's tainted by the steroids, which almost certainly he was using. I think that baseball and the Hall of Fame have to revisit the standards. Maybe they have to have a separate category. I wouldn't put Pete Rose in, but I think Barry Bonds is a different category. Steroids is different from gambling and cheating on the outcome of games. And, you know, I would be very much more sophisticated, I think, in terms of dealing with these cases.
Faye Vincent, here on the Morning Roast. He was Major League Baseball's commissioner from 89 to 1992. Thank you so much joining us on such short notice. A lot of inside information there, and we have been enlightened by what you just said here about the strike. Faye, take care. We'll do this again
soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Faye visit dropping here on the Morning
nuggets.
Roast. A lot of nuggets there. A lot to get to. Woo. Rob Parker coming
that
up
awesome.
On the other side. We'll recap this coming up here after we talk to Rob Parker next on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
He's the Gamote.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.